Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, you could say, seed, by the word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So you can see here that when he talks about, even in verse 24, he said, for all flesh is as grass. Well, we're spirit. Yeah, this flesh is decaying. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for this what? This outward man perisheth, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there's an outer man, there's an inner man, and the outward man is getting older. That means it gets planted with the seed. We're born, we mature, we grow, you reach a peak, and then you start getting older, right? And if Jesus tarries, then we leave this shell, we leave this earth, and we go and we'll be in his presence till he returns. And then we'll spend eternity with him. So you can see here, he uses this, not analogy, but he uses this example of corruptible versus incorruptible. And he's saying what? That the word of God is not corruptible, it's incorruptible. And it does what? It liveth and it abideth forever. And so that's why when we talk about seed being planted, that the seed is the word of God, and what? It lives and abides forever. It has to produce. This is the point. It must produce. And the devil fights real hard to get us to do what? Tear it up, trod on it, trample it, disdain it. Not saying we would, but people do. Or we let it get in our hearts. We start watering it, but then what happens? Thorns and thistles come up, and then do what? Choke the word. So we need to just be conscious of that. And Jesus spent a lot of time talking about and using examples of seed in his ministry. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 3:6. And I want to expand a little bit today on this. And look a little bit back at what we've been looking at, just to review. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gave the increase? God gave the increase. So we can see here, and he goes on, verse 7, he said, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He says it again here. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together. With who? With God. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And we went back and we shared that this word husbandry means a farm or a field. That's what the New Living Translation says. So the field or the garden belongs to who? It doesn't belong to me. We saw in 1 Corinthians 6 that my body and my spirit belong to him, belong to the Lord. So he owns this body and this spirit of mine. He's the husbandman. We're the husbandry. And so he owns us. I like the Moffat translation. It says, I did the planting, Apollos did the watering, but it was God who made the seed to grow. I like that. That's good. So neither planter nor waterer counts, but God alone who makes the seed grow. Still, though planter and waterer are on the same level, each will get his own wage for the special work that he has done. We work together in God's service. You are God's field to be planted. Let's say that. I am God's field to be planted. God's house to be built. So I'm his field, I'm his garden to be planted. Planted with what? Incorruptible seed, the word of God. So his desire is that we bear fruit that has results, that's eternal fruit. And he desires that this fruit is a byproduct of what? The seed that was planted. He gave the increase. But you can see, as we've been sharing in past lessons, you can see that there had to be a planting. The seed had to be planted. And we went through, and maybe we can turn over there to Matthew chapter 13 that we've been looking at. And we can see in Matthew 13 that there was planting. And there was, you could see from Matthew 13, the seed. It's talking about the sower sowing the seed. And it continued, and it said that the seed was what? Sown on wayside ground, or it says that this was seed by the wayside. It says here in verse 18, "Hear ye there the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was what? Sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, and hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Isn't it interesting? I just saw something here. Many times as I've read this, it didn't refer to the seed. Isn't that interesting? See, then the seed will produce, but look what it said here. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, he is the subject, we understand that, but it didn't say it became unfruitful. It didn't say the seed became unfruitful. It said he became unfruitful. Why? Because the seed has to produce. It has to produce. The seed must produce. Because if you put it in the right ground, when you put it in the good ground, the seed produced. But this says here, he became unfruitful. Why? Because he let those thorns choke the word. I just saw that. So, and then going on, it says, "But he that received seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So it's the Spirit that's bringing forth the harvest. But now, I want to read from, let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. I want to read this again, because this really is so good. Luke chapter 8, and starting in verse 4. So we can see here that they're just like it said in 1 Corinthians 3, it said there's the seed had to be planted and then watered, and then God gives the increase. So we can see the progression that there has to be planting, watering, and then harvest. So starting here in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "Then, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." Didn't say all of it. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the New Living, it says, stepped on. And that word trodden, you know, we looked that up and we shared that the last time. It means to trample down. And it says in the Greek, it says figuratively, it means to reject with disdain. To reject with disdain. That's what that figuratively means. That just means if you disdain something, that means you scorn it, or you regard it as inferior. You know, if you disdain something, you look at that and think, that's because then what the scripture said, it said that the world thinks the gospel's foolishness to them. But to us, it's what? The power of God. So we don't disdain it. We receive it as something eternal, special, precious. Exactly. But it's disdained by the world. It's looked down upon as being foolish, right? That's, you know, scorning it or contempting it, trodding it, stepping on it. And it said, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. So you can see again, there needs to be planting and watering. So this seed sprung up, but it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. Isn't it interesting here? When he spoke in parables here, he didn't refer to he bear fruit. It said, and he's talking about the seed now. The seed is the subject. And he said, and other fell. He's talking about seed. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now look at verse 11. This is after the disciples wanted to know, what does this parable mean? And Jesus didn't respond and say, "Well, it's only for me to know, you know." He didn't answer him that way. He said, what did he say? Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Why did the devil come and take it away? Because they trampled on it. They and the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while and in a time of temptation fall away. So they receive the word. And then, you know, you hear people say, you've heard this. Man, I don't know what's going on. I accepted Christ, and it's been nothing but problems. I was better off being in the world. So they received it with joy. And then a time of temptation came. And what? Some scriptures say, and they were offended. And they just, it withered away. In other words, how did it wither away? Lack of moisture. So in other words, they got excited. Persecution came. Could have been at home. Could have been husband, wife, children, friends. Could have been job, whatever. Could have been stuff going on in their life. And they're like, what the heck happened to my life? All hell broke loose. And then all of a sudden, they get offended. They stop going to church. They stop reading their Bible. They're like, I don't want nothing to do with this. Lack of moisture. Lack of watering. And that which was planted, what happened? It withered. It withered. No fruit was produced. No fruit because of no watering. And so what happened? It says, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, or you could say worry, and riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So it must have been coming up. They must have been watering it to some degree, right? And then what happened? Then the stuff starts happening. That's what it said. It says here, cares, it chokes it. The riches, the lure, some scriptures say the lure of riches and the pleasures of this life, bring no fruit to perfection. So that must mean fruit was growing, but it didn't ripen. It didn't get to the place where it was perfected in their life, right? I'm thinking about just in the scriptures. I'll just read it. But I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. You know, some of these scriptures, you read them every day, and all of a sudden you start teaching on this, and you go, wow. So you start looking at 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Right? Cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy. So in other words, things are working in your life. You got the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Right? And then it goes on. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And then you go down to verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I did what? I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, that's being made perfect. You're being perfected. I became a man. I did what? I put away childish things, right? So obviously, when this person here, when it talks about here, when we become more mature, we put away certain things, childish things. So we can see here, let's continue. It says in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, this is where we were landing on Sunday, honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what? Keep it and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. So we were sharing, you can see these three different types of grounds that are prior. Well, there's four different types of grounds, but the three different types of ground were basically progressive. Each one was getting closer to bearing fruit, right? You can see it starting with the wayward side or the hard footpath, as the Passion Translation calls it, and then, you know, it was trodden down. That didn't bear fruit. Then it goes to where it was received, but it sprung up, lack of moisture, and it withered. So it got a little closer. It's getting closer to bearing fruit. Then we have fruit that was sown with thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it says it didn't reach perfection. So you can see it was progressive, and the different types of things that caused it to fail. So let's look here. We were talking about on Sunday, what makes good ground good ground? What makes a good ground? Well, let's look at the characteristics. We can see from the King James, it says, the good ground. What is good ground? It says here, the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Or you could say with they were persevering. Patiently persevering. And I was reading, you know, I was sharing my favorite scripture here, or translation. But the Common English Bible, it says, the seed that fell on good soil are those who hear the word and commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart. So they commit to do the word. They commit, which is really what James said, right? Isn't that what James talks about? You know, if you don't act on the word, you deceive yourself. So this said here, they commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart. Through their resolve, they bear fruit. The New Century Version said, and the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce good fruit. Patiently produce. In God's Word translation, it says, the seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. So I just love this. Despite what life may bring, they hold on to the word. They just hold on to it in a good and honest heart. And I like this. You heard me Sunday, the Message translation. It just does it for me. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word. They hold on to it. They seize it and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. They hold on to the seed. They hold on to the good word of God no matter what. And it says, sticking with it until it produces a harvest. Because that's confidence. That's being assured. And that's where I want to expand a little bit tonight, thinking about the other scriptures in Hebrews. Cast not away. I kept hearing that yesterday and today. Cast not away, therefore, your what? Confidence, for it hath what? Great recompense of reward. That's the King James. But don't cast it away. Don't throw it away and say, that's not working. No, he said here, we're to do what? The good and honest heart seizes the word. It takes it, and it's convinced of it. It obeys it, and it sticks with it until it produces a harvest. And I'm sticking with it, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what I walk through in life. That's what God's Word translation says. It says, but they keep it in their heart. I like that, in. It says the God's Word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. So no matter what life throws at us, the seed is to be kept in our heart, because that's the key, that's the key. The devil is throwing stuff at us to do what? To have us, he's trying to get us to stir it up, tear up the good seed out of our heart. What's he after? He's trying to get your mind to think something and deposit a seed, a evil seed, where? In your heart, so that you begin to meditate on it and then do what? Say something. This ain't working. This not working. And you do what? You get offended with the cares of life. And then you do what? You walk away and you let go of the harvest. But the seed has to produce. It must produce. But he's trying to get us to disturb the field. the heart. That's what he's after. He's after your heart and mind so that you question the harvest. You begin to question God's word. Isn't that what the devil did with Eve? Hath God said? Didn't he really say that? Did he really mean that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He meant exactly what he said. And so that's for us, is so important that's what makes good ground good ground. That's what he says here. It's an honest and good heart, having heard the word. We heard it. I put it in bold caps for me. They heard the word and they keep it. They keep it. They obey it. They keep it in their hearts and bring forth fruit with patience. They keep it. So no matter what comes, what's the scripture say? We walk by faith, Hebrews. Hebrew, we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm sorry, that's 2 Corinthians. We walk by faith and not by sight. So, that's what he tries to do, is to get us to walk by sight and not faith. And we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, because this seed is incorruptible. You know, I was listening to a minister the other day, and he said something that really, I said, yeah, that's a good way of putting it, the way the Lord told him. He said, well, let me read it the way he said it, because it made me really, I said, that's true. That's what the scripture says. But you know, sometimes God will speak to us in a way. He said, he said the way you receive the word determines how it will work in you, which is true. If you disdain it, it won't work in you. So how you receive the word of God determines how it will work in you, in your life. So if you receive it as God's word, he said, that's what we just got done reading. They heard the word and they kept it and they obeyed it. See? So depending on how you receive the word determines how it will work in your life. And then he said this is what really was, I like the way he put this. He said, the same power that is in the event, and he was referring to the death and the burial and the resurrection. He said, the same power that's in the event is in the word. I went, oh yes, oh yes. The same power that is in the event is in the word of God. Or you could say, which is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, the seed, is the power of God. So the same power that was in the resurrection is in the seed. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in the word of God. So that's what his point was. That's what God was saying to him. He said, the Holy Ghost told me, he said, the same power that's in the event is in the word. And I was like, oh yes, sir. That's scriptural. It just happened to be the way he spoke to him, but I thought, that's scriptural. So we have to keep that in mind, that the power of God is in the word of God. The power of God is in the seed, and it will not return void. It must produce. The seed of God will produce if we don't disturb it. Amen? If we don't tear it up, we don't get it all misplaced. So let's take a look here. I'm just going to read a little bit from the Passion Translation, the part that is the, not the parable, but what Jesus unpacked for his disciples here. This is verse 11, the Passion Translation. Here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into the hearts. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, he's talking about the devil now, the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy, but soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficult come to them, they wither and fall away. For they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. The seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their own anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never mature, they never become mature and fruitful. It's another way of putting it. They didn't become mature and fruitful because of all these other things in life that choke the word. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. They endure things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. So we can see here that the seed planted in the good ground is what was produced. And again, it talked about being a good, honest heart, or you could say a mature person that allowed it to develop and mature, and they stuck with it. They didn't give up with tribulation. In other words, they kept the word of God dear to them, something that's precious and dear. And they looked at, you know, when you look at Paul and the tribulations he went through, what did he say? He said, I have learned how to both be what? Abased and abound. He learned how to walk through these trials and tribulations. What did Jesus say when he reached a point in 2 Corinthians? He said, I've had enough of this. And he said, look, I'm done with this. He said, take this away. And he said he prayed thrice, right? Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. And what did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient. So Paul reached a point of must have been, you know, weariness, but Jesus, by his Spirit, spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient. And he continued. And he bore fruit. Continued to bear fruit. So we can see, for all of us, no matter what we're going through, you know, a lot of people, things are just in the natural, because things hit us in the natural with different things, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's family. We've got to be determined that what we're sowing is going to reap a harvest. It's going to reap a harvest. You know, I was reading something. Reverend Tony Cook was sharing this in an article he was writing, and it was interesting. He was talking about, he was sharing about something about bearing fruit, but there was also another article I was reading about Livingston, who went to Africa and said that he never really saw the fruit of what he sowed, all of his sowing. In the many, many years he was in Africa, you know, sowing and sowing and sowing. But he was talking about, and I think partly Tony Cook was talking about this, saying that all of these men and women that came past him, he said, they began to explore and look into the area where Livingston went, and they said they found multiple churches built in these areas where he went. They said when he came home in despair because he felt he had failed. And so I said, you know what? We have to be determined if we never see the results of that in our life, our sowing into an area, into a community. If we never saw it, everything that we're benefiting from today is based on the work of those that have gone before us. So the seed will produce, and the devil knows it. He knows it, and he can't stop it. He can't stop it. So that's why we have to sow in joy. We have to just keep doing what we're doing, especially where the gospel's concerned, because this gospel will produce. And that's the thing. Now God has promised us some things in this natural life, and I believe that we will see them in our life if we just don't give up. If we will reap if we faint not. That's what the scripture says. But I want to look at, let's go over to Hebrews 10 just for a few minutes, and let's look at this. Hebrews 10, verse 23. And I'll have, you know, when you get the time, read from verse 19 through 39. And you kind of get the same flavor or feel for what we just got done reading here in the parable of the sower. But I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read the first three verses here from verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 9, starting in 19. We're talking about good soil, and when it says, those that heard the word and let it into their hearts, a good and honest heart, right? But look at this here. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with what? A true heart. That's good ground. A true heart in what? Full assurance of faith. That's like what we were talking about here in Luke. The good ground are those who hear the word and they do what? They let it in. And what did it say? Let me read it to you. So we don't forget that. It says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is saying here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's sticking with something. Having our hearts what? Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What does it say? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith with what? Without wavering. That word, you know, in some profession all really means hold fast to your confession. That's really what it means, homologia. That's the Greek word. It means confession or what one confesses. And this word wavering means firm, unmoved. I'm not moved. I'm not going to be moved by something I'm walking through, but I'm convinced. That's what this says here. You hold fast the profession of your faith. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you can go down and read the rest of this, but look at verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, what? Your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. That's producing harvest. That's just exactly what we got done talking about here. Somebody who, with an honest and good heart, keeping the word and what? Producing a harvest. Producing something, which is what this got done saying here. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's just exactly casting not away your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. That means that you're going to produce a harvest. You're going to produce some fruit. This word to cast away your confidence means to throw off or lay aside something. You know, that could be synonymous with three of those different types of grounds, right? That we just got done looking at. Don't do that. Keep that seed planted in your heart. Keep it. And it says, and confidence, it just means assurance or boldness. But I like this. See, isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit inspired the writer here? It said, it didn't say which hath recompense of reward. It said what? Great recompense. That word great is mega, megas, mega. That means humongous, a mega reward. I like that. A mega harvest, right? So there's going to be a mega harvest here if you do what? Don't cast away your confidence. Hallelujah. The Message translation says, don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. It's still a sure thing. The seed is planted. You keep watering it. It's a sure thing. Don't throw it away now. Right? The Amplified says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Glory to God. So we can see here, that's the key. The devil's trying to get folks to keep the pressure on. You know, something that I remember Pastor Clinton, even Pastor Sarah said it with their years of experience and just working with people in the ministry and members, that the biggest thing, see, that will begin to tear up the seed that's planted, just like Brother Hagin said, be it unto you according to your faith. What does the devil try to do? He tries to get people, what? Discouraged. And to feel a sense of despair, like this is not working. I'm not seeing this. It's just not working. I don't see it. And then what happens is you let go, you cast away your confidence. You cast it away. You go, it's not working. And the devil knows that. He can't make you, he can discourage you to the place of what? You making a choice. Always remember, he doesn't have the power. If he had the power to make you stop, he'd do it right now. He would make you stop right now. He has no power to do that because we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are free moral agents, so you could call it. We have the right. We are made like God to make our own choices. Now, he wants us to make a choice for him. But we can choose to do what you know you want to do. You can choose death or life. He says, choose life. So you have the right to make a choice. And the devil can't come in and just make you do something, otherwise you'd be possessed. And he can't do that. But he can influence you so that you make a choice. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to influence your thinking so that from your heart, you just say, forget it. It's not working. Bang. You just set something in motion. Or you tore up the seed. Because that's what this says. It says, what we got done reading before, it says that because of the thorns, because of what? Persecutions. And it says here, it says the seed is choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So the cares of life, the worries of life, the riches of life, the pleasures of life, it brings no fruit to perfection. So you get distracted with life. You don't stay steady. It says you don't endure. You get distracted with your thinking. You go, it's not working. For the persecutions. And then the others, you can't serve God and mammon, because then the pleasures of life, the lure of things, it causes you to be distracted away from the seed, to be planted, to be watered. God's always got more. So that's why I say, you know, there's a joy, there's a rest, there's a peace, there's a joy in the Holy Ghost, that we can always be refreshed and renewed and built up as we come together in these settings to receive the word and to not let go, not look, oh, I'm too busy, I don't have time for that. God will allow you to make that choice. He will allow you to make that choice, and you will only reach a certain level of perfection where the word is concerned. And so that's what the devil tries to do. But again, we're growing and we're maturing, and God is revealing to us those areas. Because what does the scripture say? Those that do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the word, after the word, after the word, shall be filled. So I'll tell you, God has been stirring in my heart to make changes in my own life. Don't spend more time in the word. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time doing those things that are more important. Doesn't mean that you don't have other things to do or other responsibilities, but what he's saying is, I don't want you to do that anymore. I remember when Leanne Sozaby was here. I remember her saying something I thought was striking. But you know, each one, he knows the heart. He knows where you are and where he wants to bring you and how he wants to use you and the calling upon your life. And he said to her, she said, you know, when I'd get home from school and after, you know, pouring out and praying and doing these things, she said physically she would just hit the lounge chair and just kind of watch TV and just kind of relax. I mean, there's nothing harmful in that, right? And the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, I want you just glued to the TV. Turn it off. Spend more time with me. That was for her, you see? And he knew that wouldn't be productive for her. So if he wants to bring her to another level of growth, there's just some things the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, nope, not for you. Right? Not for you. Otherwise, those things will do what? They'll choke the word and choke its perfection in our life. So that's the exciting thing for me, that we're all growing. What does the scripture say in John 15? A branch that bears fruit, he does what? He purges it. So it does what? Brings forth more fruit. So we're all producing fruit, and sometimes he pinches here and there, and we have to oblige, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I like feeding on this because it's really, I don't know about you, but it's helping me. It's expanding in me to see other scriptures about production in the Word of God and how sacred and how powerful the Word of God is concerning seed that it will produce. It'll produce healing, it'll produce prosperity, it'll produce peace, it'll produce love, it'll produce his nature in us the more we put it in and meditate on it and water it. Glory to God. Praise God. And this is really what the world is seeking after. They're seeking after love, they're seeking after peace, they're seeking after joy, and all of it's in that which they reject. But we don't. Praise God.